Okay, we wanted to ask Joan Goddard to facilitate the rest of this discussion now so that everyone's voice gets heard. And keep in mind that momentum and timing is important. It's already January, so whatever we decide we want to work on as a solidarity action, we really should include 4 to 6 months of solid planning, or even more if we can manage it. It would be great if we could decide on at least close to what we want to do by our One Wolf call in February. Joan, please start by saying a little more about how the suffrage anniversary might be used across Wolf or other ideas you want to suggest. And then we'll ask folks who have their own suggestions to get on our stack by pressing #1 on your phone keypad. Joan, your mic is open.
Thank you, and thank you all for your patience and hoping. And it was great to hear what Ellen had to say after I got back on the call. Let's see, as you mentioned, the fact that African-American women were not able to vote when the white women were in starting after 1920. And I think that will be something that WILF can offer to our local celebrations of the suffrage anniversary. And it will be very important because it's important to get together with African-American women's organizations and African-American organizations in general, because, of course, the men were not able to vote either in the southern states, at least. So I think that is something that would be really beneficial for the suffrage celebrations, and there may very well be, in many places, organizations that are already working on this aspect, on the African-American lack of suffrage in many, especially in the southern states, so that we can work with them and get to know them better. We know some people, of course, and it'll be great to, you know, work on a project together and let those organizations that may already have started working on it to know that WILF is with them and concerned, you know, and aware and wants to help spread the word of acknowledging the history that's involved since 1920. So, who do we have? Who other is now waiting to talk?
I have Phoebe Sorgan on the staff and Cindy Domingo. So I think Cindy was. I think Phoebe was first. Go ahead, Phoebe.
Oh, hi. I'm going to have to leave the call soon, but going back to the previous topic about the bomb anniversary coming up, I just wanted to let you know that I was given a two-act play that I think is excellent. It's written by a man named Don Close, who had given an anti-nuclear presentation at UUCB, and it moved me to tears, and it has four teenagers and their parents, who are a senator whose sister is in the nuclear industry and whose best friend is a lobbyist for the nuclear industry, a senator who wants to do what's right. And then the teenagers have been required reading by their teacher to read Dan Ellsberg's Doomsday Machine, so they are influenced by that and trying to influence their parents, and it just brings me to tears even now just to think about how powerful this play is. So I'm sure Don would love for people to want to do readings of it. If you want, I can email it to you.
Thank you. That'd be great. And plays are such a great way to involve new people in the community, younger people.
Yeah.
And then we also had Cindy Domingo.
We discussed this issue last night on our Cuban Bolivarian Alliance Issues Committee, and there is actually a new Cuban film. It's a short feature film, about 30 minutes, done by Marilyn Zelaya from Cuba, and it's about the women's suffrage movement in Cuba, which I think would make a very important comparison to our struggle here for women's suffrage. And as well, Catherine Murphy, who is a member of our committee, has a new film as well that just been released and is making the rounds to various film festivals, but by this summer sometime she's willing to have WILF members show it. And it's about during the 60s, well, earlier than that, 50s and 60s, the whole effort for voter registration and the fight against the efforts to stop African Americans in the South to vote. And it's very important, given what's happening now, to disenfranchise the African American population, to look at the historical roots of this whole movement to stop African Americans from voting. So I think those two films could potentially be also of use to the different branches and can link, you know, the Cuba and Bolivarian Issues Committee with our struggles here in the United States.
That sounds great. And the Catherine's film, is that the one that's called Maestra?
No, it's a new film she's produced. And she has
it
not.
It didn't sound like that would be the title.
Yeah.
The U.S.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But it's
yeah,
you know,
great.
Right. Voter registration had everything to do with the literacy campaign as well during the 60s, so 50s and 60s. So, yeah, the civil rights movement.
Great. Excellent. Okay. And are there other people on the waiting to speak?
Nancy Price, sorry.
Yes, hi. So I was thinking that because we're in this primary season during the spring, and then we have the election November, 5th, I guess, it might be that we want a several parts to a suffrage campaign. That is, now with the primaries coming up, we really need to focus on access to the vote and, you know, voter purging, those sorts of issues, particularly in the southern states, but it's not just the southern states, where actually people are being disenfranchised, and we need to stand up for that and make statements and help maybe mobilize our membership in those states to support whatever efforts are going on there. There's also the issue of purging felons who've served their time in and out of jail from being able to vote. So that might be, you know, step one of a campaign. And I don't know that we can really impact how voting is carried out, but certainly to advocate for paper ballots, but they need to be hand-counted paper ballots. They cannot be ballots that are scanned by the same old machines that flip votes, even in scanning, and produce false counts or other problems with voting machines. So if that's an issue that we want to address, we really need to get that on. We need to get onto that very soon. And then I think one thing that could be very helpful is to invite members to go to their election office and train to be poll watchers. It's very important to have trained people at the polls who can answer questions, can spot some problems going on, can represent the election office, have more eyes on what's going on. And I've done that twice. It's really quite exhilarating and interesting to be engaged at that level. So we might have two or three, fronts on which we're talking about suffrage and the importance of everybody's having access to the vote and having an accurate account so that we have an actual true representative democracy. Excuse me?
Sandy Thacker?
Yeah. Actually, Nancy, what you were talking about, I like a lot of those ideas. And there's a group that actually, and I can't remember the name of it, but I could probably get it and get it to Mary Beth, a group that is trying to re-register people who were purged from the registration polls. You can get them. There's a, you know, in different places, there's a group that is helping those people get re-registered because they've been dumped for ridiculous reasons. But I had another idea, which kind of playing on the 100th anniversary, is just kind of a, the idea was that each branch would try to register 100 women, you know, between now and November, and that we would keep a tally, and we would keep track of who's doing good, who's not, and try to go into, you know, minority communities as much as possible and register women there, and young women in universities, whatever, depending. I mean, it depends. Of course, I'm in a bigger community, so 100 seems possible. But as close as we can get to 100 per branch, that would be just fun.
Sounds great. Is there somebody else on the waiting list?
Peter Stell from Pittsburgh.
Am I on now?
Yes.
I'm wondering how we can get the play about about the nuclear bomb. Somebody mentioned a two-act play.
Phoebe will send me the contact information, and I'll get it out to the whole list.
Okay, thank you. And the other question I have is this a call recorded, and will people be able to access it afterwards?
Yes, and yes.
Okay, and will you send me the information how to access it, because it's at least one of our members who said, I don't want to be on the call, but I'd like to listen to it afterwards.
Okay.
Yes, that was announced earlier, Edith, that definitely should be repeated. Can you repeat more than just the yes and the yes?
I'm sorry that I got on the call a little later.
That's okay. It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Our One Wolf calls are archived and available to the public on our website. The link is at the bottom of the Wolf website in the peach-colored section at the bottom of the homepage under resources. It says One Wolf calls. And if you go there, you can find almost all of the calls that we've ever had. And Michael promises me and Glenn is working on getting the last two or three updated. So we'll try and get this one done pretty quickly, too.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Thank you.
Ricky Guard Diamond has her hand up. Ricky's in Vermont.
Yes. Yes, hi. It's really inspiring to think about the coordination that we can do with the suffrage anniversary and the 75th year of Hiroshima, too. I mean, those are kind of intersecting numbers that are very important. And I think the mention of African-American voters who weren't able to vote is really important, a good way to expand our outreach and enlist more members in our local chapters. But I also think we could widen that that whole subject to include issues of immigration and racism in general, because when you look at California's history, you see that the Chinese were blocked in a good many ways from achieving citizenship. And even I know this from having grown up near Chicago, Italians and other groups who were, you know, new immigrant groups were often blocked. Italians were actually lynched and were part of the group, the anti-Catholic sentiment of the Ku Klux Klan. And so, you know, I think the that whole subject of who gets omitted is a very lively one that women can be really enthusiastic about, I think, and that would help us build bridges. So I just thought I'd throw that in there too.
Thank you. Great. Is there anyone else on the list or wants to get on the list now?
Julie Cavucano from Brockton, Massachusetts.
Oh, yes.
Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me talk. I think I'm very excited about the suffrage celebration. And I think someone already said what I was going to say. It's about involving more of the new immigrants. Most immigrants, for example, from African countries who are here and who are not really involved in the voting process. They don't even know that they can vote. They're already American, but they're so busy working, and they usually work odd hours. So the time of during the time of the vote, they're not able to be there. So this will be a great way for us to campaign, you know, in those community and involve them in the voting process. That's all I was going to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Judy Adams just put her hand up, and I just wanted to mention that I read that Sandusky, Ohio, just this week, or at least it was posted this week, that they have canceled Columbus Day and made Election Day a national holiday in town. And that seems to me like such a practical, common sense thing to do. We might put that on our list of things to consider.
That's for sure.
And then Judy Adams from Palo Alto.
Mary Beth, that was a great information. For the last speaker, I wanted to say that in voting, we want to be sure that in those states and municipalities where like in my city, Menlo Park, California, all the voting is not done at a precinct but is right in. So that for people who feel, I can't get off work, I don't want to stand around in line, we need to make sure that people know about write-in ballot options in those areas. That may get out more of the vote. In addition to driving people to precincts to vote, some people don't even have to leave home, basically, and they're also pre-franked. You know, they don't require postage. Thanks.
Pre-franked, yes. No postage. Great. Postage paid, whatever.
I see Anne Henney has her hand up, and then Darian.
I just wanted to ask folks that I think except for the suggestion about doing readings of the anti-nuclear play, these actions that we're talking about are more activities that we could mobilize our members to do, but I'm wondering what could be a solidarity, what can we do as a solidarity action that that we're all doing together and that kind of elevates wealth so that we can be seen and more visible and take more leadership. I think I can see doing a lot of this work in conjunction with the League of Women Voters and lots of other organizations who do this kind of work all the time.
Right.
But I'm just wondering, how do we translate this into a WELP solidarity action or set of actions?
We also have Darian and Robin Lloyd and Nancy Price. So let's take those, and then John, maybe you can sort of start discussing Anne's question about these are all great activities, but is there one that we might do all together? Gary?
Well, thank you very much. I actually just have a potpourri of responses. First, I wanted to really thank you, Anne, for reminding us that we are thinking about a solidarity action and what could we do that would be visible and meaningful in connection with the discussion about migrants and the difficulties for new migrants voting. in those states where people do vote at polling places, and California is moving away from that, it might be that we could do a solidarity action of providing escort services for migrants who are now citizens to vote at the polls and be assisted to make sure that they are given their right to vote. I did want to just remind people who are voting by mail that although California provides franking for ballots, that is not the case in all states. So it can be very important to not only affix stamps to your ballot, but to affix the proper postage, because a big ballot won't get delivered with one stamp. And just to remind people that we're not far away from the world in which the Klan harassed migrants in the past, and unfortunately the Klan and their ilk are continuing to harass migrants. My own father used to tell us about the time the Klan surrounded his childhood home. They were Italian immigrants and threatened them and were preparing to burn crosses and so forth. And that was in California, where some of us that such things didn't happen much. So, yes, let's find solidarity actions that we can all or nearly all participate in. Thank you for that reminder, Anne. Thanks.
Robin?
Hey, Robin from Burlington, Vermont. Just to say that a lot of these things that can be done around elections, certainly we can do that in every state, but here in Vermont, which is owned by Bernie Sanders and is not going to go for Trump, it's not high up on our Wilf agenda, I think, to work on that. Certainly if we had time, that would be fun to do. Luckily, we have a group here that is a bi-state group of Vermont and New Hampshire. It's called Rights and Democracy. And so busloads go over to the benighted people in New Hampshire, or rather the people who have whose opinion is being solicited very carefully now. So that's one of the things we can do. I think don't most of us on this call come from states that are pretty definitely Democratic? Maybe I'm crazy, but no, I mean, California. Anyway, let me just say that here.
Certainly not Florida.
Yeah, right. Okay. here in Burlington, we have Marguerite Edelman, who has raised money, gotten grants. So we are having a wonderful speaker in October, Sally Wagner, and it's very exciting. And she's interested to know our Wilf history about what happened in 1917, 18, 19, when many women were opposed to the war, but others who were more concerned about suffrage felt that they had to support the war because they wanted to cultivate the vote of the Congress people who would be voting on suffrage as they did in 2020. So there was an interesting split there, and Sally Wagner wants to know more about that so she can bring it into her talk, and possibly that would be useful in other. I will try to gather the information on that. Jane Addams was very involved, of course. And to bring up another issue, I'm sorry I'm late on this, but on this call, because I was at a session on the F-35. We continue to be obsessed with this up here. And one of the things that I just got an email around to people in terms of what Disarm Wilf is doing is that we hope to get a grant, a mini grant, and maybe funds from elsewhere to enable women to attend some of the conferences this spring, of which there are at least three of them, one in New York at Riverside Church, one in Tennessee, and the other one in Ottawa, where we're making contacts with the Voice of Women Canadian and seeing if we can really connect with them. And they are dealing, I think, with the F-35 up there as well. So trying to set up a kind of network amongst especially WILF branches that are dealing with this tip of the spear of Trump's militarism. So that is just a little report on what Burlington WILF is up to. And sorry to be late, but I just got in from our meeting. Thank you.
Great that you got to tell us about these. Yes.
And I think Nancy Price is the last person on the stack.
Thank you. Here I am again. Well, I was thinking about the 75th anniversary of Hiroshima, and it seems to me that maybe there's an opportunity to work with Move to Amend to point out that we need an amendment to the Constitution so that we can control the money in politics, so that we can have people representing us, the people, and not the corporations, so that we can work on a peace economy, we can work on peace, we can have funds for the human and social needs and for the environment, et cetera. So that might allow us to present part of our agenda and to work on a pretty big topic, which is Move to Amend, as well as on the 75th anniversary, and sort of frame it out in a way that would be pretty important and maybe pretty impactful. At the same time, advocating for people in Congress to support Move to Amend, as well as supporting peace.
Yeah, the national budget and priorities and focus, yes, need to be, and much more likely to be able to be if we can elect people. Yep.
So that's everyone who's on the stack, and I just wanted to lift up again Ann's question about what could we do all together.
All right. So the solidarity actions. We've mentioned suffrage and talked about it quite a bit, and also Nancy just tied in the Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Are there other suggestions that we haven't mentioned for the solidarity events for this year that have been organized, the solidarity events that have been organized by the through the One Wealth calls, which, of course, we're on now.
Are there other what, John?
Are there other solidarity action suggestions that I'm not thinking of and they, that haven't come up during this meeting, perhaps, but for other than the in addition to the suffrage anniversary and the Hiroshima and Nagasaki anniversaries?
Not on this call, I don't think. Anybody
well,
else?
I'm talking about, okay, so if were there other things that the that had come up before this call that we should not forget about, or just be sure that we're focused, that we want to focus on the suffrage anniversary and the Hiroshima and Nagasaki for the One Wealth solidarity actions, which are part of the program planning for the year? Nope. Okay. So what, Anne, you were making some suggestions. Do you want to either repeat or add on or whatever?
Well, I think what we have here, you're right, there seems to be quite a bit of interest around voter rights and for obvious reasons, and that there were a lot of different ideas. So what we haven't yet done is figure out how would we frame that as a solidarity action. It might involve some of these different suggestions, like mobilizing in states where voters have been purged and disenfranchised, and or trying to re-register people. Those kinds of things might be done in some areas, but as Robin pointed out, in Vermont, that's probably not going to be too relevant. So it sounds as if we need to have a little bit more discussion, because when you talk about, or we talk about the kind of milestone dates of the suffrage theme, and also the Hiroshima and Nagasaki anniversary, those are giving us kind of a center of gravity, but they don't necessarily tell us what our solidarity events will be around those. So it sounds as if we need to have a little bit more brainstorming and discussion to figure out what we're concretely going to do.
Yeah, and how to encourage people to work with the people who are already working in their areas on the suffrage anniversaries and see what wealth can add, and how we can connect with those other organizations that we may or may not already connect with, using it as a way to broaden awareness of WILF, and also offer our particular aspects that we were talking about, like the African American voting, as far as the suffrage part of it is. And the Hiroshima and Nagasaki is also tied in with the World Conference that Ellen Thomas was telling us about, which is in April, and then going on into the NPT review process and so on at the UN. So that's something that's starting fairly soon, and some people have suggested that we start looking at the things that we can do now, and as we have been talking about, be planning ahead to the actual anniversaries, which are in August, but do things in the meantime, which reminds me that we also have had suggestions from some people as far as the suffrage movement that maybe in the that there had been places where women were allowed to vote earlier, and some of those dates might be relevant in particular states too. So maybe what we need to do is put out a call for branches to talk about who in their branch is interested in being part of a national committee, say, so to speak, to work on what kinds of things might be especially relevant in a particular wealth branch, as well as which things we want to organize that are would be useful to all or most of the branches. Does that make any sense in terms of what you all have been talking about already as far as the One WILF activity?
Well, I'm just concerned that if we start now developing a planning committee instead of being the planning committee, are we taking another 2 months away from our planning? Like I said, it's January, folks.
Mm-hmm.
If we do something for suffrage, I think that's the summer. And if we do the Hiroshima, that's August.
They're both August.
Yeah, so that's not all that long from now, and it's going to take some time to pull things together. That's my concern. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but whenever somebody talks about let's form a committee, I start shivering in my boots.
Well, how about people work on it, but put out the call to people in the different branches as far as what they know about their own situations and how what would be useful or what can they offer too.
Well, and I have some folks with their hands up. I'm sorry. Judy Adams has her hand up. Go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, I've been trying. I was wondering whether the features fit. I was thinking as a solidarity event, of course, we have, it's coming up very close, but Branches could rally, would be Women's Day, January 18th. That I understand, Joan, that your branch in San Jose is doing sort of a contingent in the march on the escalation of military saber-rattling in the U.S. We could also have that, and everybody could do that, or threats to abortion and women's health care issues. Everybody could have signs in a women's march that would get attention. On Hiroshima Day, I always ask our city churches and city halls that have bells and Stanford University to ring chimes at the time of Ground Zero at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, or that we might have a some sort of campaign. I know this would be expensive, but you see full-page ads in the New York Times, let's say, on maybe where we could list things and branches could contribute to a budget for that, where we could list a few of these ideas, as these are issues we need to think about on a particular day. So those are
and ongoing.
I like the members calling it a potpourri event of questions, which I've just thrown out.
Yeah.
Okay, and Tina Shelton from Philadelphia. Go ahead, Tina.
Hello. Not sure if you can hear me.
Yeah.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear
okay.
you.
Okay, great. I was just, rather than commenting on the discussion, just giving a report from our branch. So we do have two events that we're planning right now. The first is a belated working on the treaty, and what we decided to do is show the film The End of Nuclear, The Beginning of the End of Nuclear Weapons, which kind of also brings into, obviously, the treaty for non-proliferation, the NPT review coming up. It's a film about the ICANN coalition that created the treaty. So we're excited about that. We're doing that in coordination with Ethical Society, and we have some of the other peace groups that are co-sponsoring, and that will be on Sunday of Martin Luther King weekend on January 19th. And then our next event is we're fundraising because we are, with the help of a mini grant, we're sending a small contingent down to the border with Brownsville and to serve meals at the border. And so we have a little fundraiser planned, including getting feedback from local events, local coalitions such as Shut Down Berks. There is a family detention center here in Pennsylvania, and many of us have been supportive of the Shut Down Berks Detention Center, and so we're going to write postcards to our governor because we think that our governor has the right to just shut it down, and although he hasn't done it yet. And so we're going to have a fundraiser to help us raise money for the food at the border, as well as hearing about the Shut Down Berks Coalition and writing our postcards. So that is our two events. So it's more of a report back than
when's the border Brownsville event, Tina?
So that event is January 11th. That's a fundraising event, and then we are going down in early February, February 6th to 11th.
Right, okay. And there will be an announcement about that in the e-news that's going to be coming along very early in February. That's already been submitted and everything. And I just went to this is Joan, I just went to a film showing of about Josh Rubin, who was actually there last night at the film showing in Palo Alto, where he was showing, the film was showing what he and other people have done in terms of places like what you're talking about, the teenagers' detention place, and two of them shut down, including what we'd heard about Homestead, but there's also Tornillo. So you may, my email is joan@rujo.org. So if the people who are working on that shutdown project are not already aware of Josh Rubin and what he's been doing with other people at the border, please write to me and I'll get you his contact information.
Okay.
And I see Darian has a hand up.
Right.
Hi. I just wanted to briefly say, as far as forming committees for planning solidarity events, I agree, Mary Beth, that we don't want to wait. However, if there's anyone listening or anyone in a branch who can quickly put in a name of such and such a person who wants to be part of that committee, if we can get that information within the next 5 to 7 days, then great. We don't want to turn down volunteers. We would benefit from creative energy that people may have. And I just want to observe what an amazing collection of knowledge, experience, and information this call is. No sooner does Tina call in with comments about Brownsville than Joan has references for her and further information. And that's just one example in a series of people calling in and somebody else having answers and information. These calls are an outstanding resource for WILP. I will encourage everyone who's still on this call to talk to your branches. I know a lot of branches just don't get many people calling in, and more people getting excited about WILP by hearing calls like this would be a good thing for us. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so do we have anybody else who is waiting to talk or suddenly has now decided that you want to talk, or we are coming along on the time, of course?
Well, Edith has her hand up, but I don't know if it's a new request or an old one. Edith Bell.
Okay, I just had a comment or a suggestion for the celebration of or commemoration of the 100 years of the 19th Amendment. We may do a forum and have different speakers speak on the different issues of the voting, like the immigrants and the African-American vote and the and of course somebody about the history, etc. Just to throw that out as an idea.
Great, yeah. So that way you can get information out about it ahead of time, which alerts people to those topics, and also some of them can come to the program and so on too, and then spread the word afterwards, right?
And you get other groups involved, like you get Black African-American organizations involved because they will speak on certain issues, and you get the immigrants speak on that, and you get different people involved. Anyway,
right.
We've gone.
Yeah. And all at one program. Yeah.
That's all I have. Good night.
Thank you. Not for the good night, although that's nice too. But
well,
I don't have the information about even how many people there still are on the call, because I know
there's 14 people on the call. We've
great.
Only lost, I think, 4 of them from the beginning. Is there energy about trying to put together a planning committee for the solidarity planning for 2020? If so, maybe you could raise your hands, indicate your interest. Press number 1 on your phone keypad if you or you think someone from your branch might be interested in or if you're an at-large member, if it's just you who'd like to help plan this, an event that raises wealth and contributes to the issue as well.
And takes into account the different situations, as Robin was saying too.
Right. Yeah. Not seeing any anybody signing up for this. Sorry.
Okay. Well, people will work on it in their own locations and find out what other people are doing and see how we
Judy
insert
Judy
wealth
hand,
into it.
Great. Judy Adams' hand just went up. Go ahead, Judy.
Put my hands up in solidarity. Certainly, we're meeting on Saturday with our branch, and we will talk about these topics and see if we can come up with something that different branches could do on the same day or the same week.
Great.
So, you know, we're going to be doing that Saturday, so I nervously raise my hand. and Joan, I'd be happy with you.
To brainstorm and share, yeah.
There you go.
Well, it's almost 9 o'clock. I hate for these to drag on usually more than 8:45, but here we are at almost 9 o'clock. We've gone through a lot of information and ideas. And we still have a lot more decisions to make and a lot more thinking to do.
Right.
But it seems like this might be a good place to stop. And maybe we can try to put together a call in between this call and the February One Wealth call if we can get folks who volunteer to work on a solidarity effort. Perhaps we can try and do that. I was hoping we would do it tonight only because I'm on just way too many calls as it is, but the heck, what's another one?
Right, and I think we did get quite a bit of discussion tonight and ideas and information shared and all those other good things. So that's a good start tonight.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all for being on our January 2021 Wealth Call. Be sure and look at that branch survey in your email and get it returned by January 20th. If you do go out to join the Women's Marches on January 18th, that's coming right up, please remember to wear your wealth sashes and buttons and bring wealth signs, just so you know people remember we're still part of the women's movement. Our next call is scheduled for February 13th. Put it on your calendar and make sure you have at least one branch representative on the call, because we're going to continue talking about solidarity actions and trying to move along a plan for 2020. I was going to do a soapbox, but honestly, my voice is starting to go. So I don't think we're going to do that tonight.
Yeah, and people have had a chance to have had good chance here at the end to speak up if they wanted to and so on. So that's good. The other thing about January 18th, Judy was mentioning the San Jose group. What they're planning to carry is signs that say no war. That's a real good simple message that wealthers might want to carry in the women's marches.
Thanks. Will it also say wealth on there?
That's not a wealth group that's planning to do that. We're part of it. But we can wear our sashes and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if we only carry our signs and banners and sashes at events that we inaugurate, we won't be out there very often.
Right. No, I'm just saying that the signs, the no war signs, you know, the wealthers can add wealth, but not everyone will do that because it's a broader group. It's like the Medicare for all people are even going to do that and so on too.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I just meant for us. for our group.
Right.
Judy Adams is on STAC.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was before. Judy, go ahead.
I'm not sure that I was. It may have been a repeat from something. I'm good. And thanks, Joan. It's a simple message, and we can say, we could add Wilpfer against war, maybe, at the top, in addition to wearing our sashes, and do that at other national marches, city marches.
Right. Not just on January 18th, because, unfortunately, we need to have there, and there are being many other demonstrations about the situation that's been precipitated. Yep.